Hi, it's Patrick Cox here. And just how much do you love diacritics? Dots, tildes, umlauts. They're the stuff of exotic vacations, of dreams. But they are not the stuff of the Minnesota Department of Transportation.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
On The Big Show, Marco Werman and I talk diacritics and the English language with a special Swedish-American guest. We didn't have time to play the whole conversation in the broadcast, so here it is now. Take it away, Marco.
We like going granular on some stories here on the world. Right now, we're going to get really granular on a highway sign. The governor of Minnesota issued a quirky executive order yesterday. It has to do with the name of the small Minnesota town of Lindstrom, specifically how that name is spelled. Lindstrom was founded by Swedish immigrants back in the 19th century, and that was long reflected in the little twin dots hovering over the O in Lindstrom. But those dots, often referred to as umlauts, were removed from the green highway signs around the town. That did not sit well with many locals. So after much debate, the governor has now ordered that those two dots be put back. We called up Bernie Coulomb at the local bakery to get her reaction. Tell me, first of all, Bernie, what kind of baked goods do you sell in your shop?
Oh, this bakery is a full retail business. It has the donuts and cookies, pies, cakes, buns, breads, the full run of every product.
You have umlauts over the O in donuts?
We should have it. That's a big thing, but we don't have it on that, but we should.
So what difference does the umlaut make, actually, in pronouncing the name of your town of Lindstrom there in Minnesota?
Well, a lot of people that are not Swedish, they'll pronounce it Lindstrom, just plain. And put little dots above it, it's called Lindstrom. It's very strong in the pronunciation.
Does it really matter, or is it just a matter of pronunciation and kind of local pride?
Well, in this town, this is a Swedish town. It always has been known for Swedish settlers that came here in the beginning. And so they, all for years, they've always kind of wanted to promote this town as a Swedish heritage. And so, yeah, it is very important to our customers and stuff.
Well, let me get a take on this from the world's language editor, Patrick Cox, who's in the studio with me. Is this an unusual case, Patrick? Have you seen anything like this before?
I think it's a pretty unusual case. I mean, generally speaking, English is thought of as the language where diacritics go to die. All of the accents and the dots and all of that, they just disappear. And America, of course, is the place where when you come to America, you sort of drop your clothes from the old world and you embrace the new world and names get, your surnames get changed and also the names of cities and towns get changed. And generally speaking, the accents go. That said, the English language, there are no rules to the English language, right? I mean, nobody's going to stop the governor of Minnesota from saying, throw in some Cyrillic letters if you want to do that. He's every right to issue a decree like this.
If I go down along the U.S.-Mexico border, though, where if you don't have a little tilde above the N, it's, could actually mean something really nasty, right? So with so many Spanish speakers in the United States, you've not ever encountered a case where the tilde was dropped and it really made a difference.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, you get these corners of the English language where it is important to some people. But generally speaking, English is a language that largely ignores diacritics.
And Bernie Coulomb, are you comfortable with the notion that you're maybe hanging on too much to the past?
I don't think so. This is the way we were brought up. I mean, it's a Swedish inheritance, and you've got to keep your inheritance going.
Aside from the umlaut over the O in Lindstrom and your bakery, what else can we find of the Swedish legacy in Lindstrom today?
As you come into town here, they have a statue of, it's a Carl Oscar statue, we call it, and it's the Swedish immigrants that came into this area at first. Then we have a water tower that is painted as a Swedish design, and we've got a beautiful Lutheran church here that's, it's strictly Swedish.
Strictly Swedish there. Bernie Coulomb at the Lindstrom Bakery, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Patrick Cox of the World's Language Desk, before I let you go, you're in touch with linguists and people who think about this stuff all the time. What do linguists have to say, do you think, about the two dots over the O in Lindstrom?
Oh, most of them are completely fine with it, whether it's there or not. Although they would not, as the governor of Minnesota called it, they would not call it an umlaut. Umlauts belong to the German language, and they affect the pronunciation of the letters. They're not separate letters. In Swedish, the O with the two dots over it is, in fact, a separate letter.
Now, there's also an O, I don't know where it's from, maybe Scandinavia somewhere, with a line through it. What's the difference between that and the two dots over the O?
It's the Danish and I think Norwegian as well version of that O with the two dots.
Now, the other thing that some people might be thinking is, what about all those metal bands out there that are sticking those two dots over? Sometimes really weird letters, sometimes not even vowels.
Yeah, these are called metal umlauts. And you know, no one's making really a claim that they're umlauts at all. And this is a great thing about America in particular. There are other bands from around the world that also use these. But Americans have really embraced this. And it's like we drop all of these diacritics in most of our language, but then we add them for effect. And as far as anybody can tell, the first American band to do this was Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh, that's right.
Don't Fear the Reaper. Yeah, then Motley Crue did it and
Motorhead. Where did Spinal Tap, the lovely Spinal Tap, put their two dots?
Their two dots came over the N. And that was just, right. They were just laughing at the bands that used it for effect.
Okay, so you've got Spinal Tap with the two dots over the N. You've got Blue Oyster Cult, as you said. I can think of Motorhead, two dots over the O, so that's, you know, sort of accurate, if not. You come across any others that are just off the wall?
Oh, my goodness. There's a whole bunch of them. I'd never heard of them before. Here's a great one, and it's an American, described as an American laser punk band called Toilet Boys. And and that's the O of the boys. It's got the two dots over it. Speaking of Swedish, there's a Swedish glam metal band known as Crash Diet with the two dots over the I.
Crash, K or C?
It's one word, Crash Diet, with a C. There's a Russian punk band. I can't tell you what the name of the band is because I don't read Cyrillic script, but it's four letters, and the third letter is kind of a backwards N, and then there's these two dots over the top of it. Who knows what it all means? And then there is a Ukrainian band. Its name is Fleur, you know, the French for flower, I guess. I don't know.
These are going to take two dots?
Except it takes two dots over the E of Fleur, F-L-E. E, two dots, U, R.
Fleur. Patrick Cox of the World's Language Disc, thank you.
You're very welcome, Marco. And this, of course, is Fleur, if I have that pronunciation right. We have more at pri.org/language. Lots of other podcast episodes are there, as they are on iTunes and other podcast delivery systems. The podcast is also on Facebook. Leave me your ideas there at the World in Words page. On that page, I post a bunch of language-related stories from all over the place. And I post even more on Twitter. My handle is PatriCox. That's PatriCox. Thanks for listening.
Soundworks.
Soundworks
from PRI.